Amen. I remember when I was in my days of as a Baptist preacher, we were discussing all the time if the wise men were three or more. And there was a discussion about the gifts, and there are three or more, or caravan, whatever the case was. So every time I read this story, I remember that arguments and discussions we got with my fellow experts in theology when I was 7 or 8 years old. Of the four Gospels included in the Christian Bible, the Gospel of Matthew and Luke are the only ones that tell us the story of Christmas as we know them. But in January 6th, our Christian tradition celebrates the caravan of wise people who visit the Holy Family and the day of the birth of Jesus. As usual, a caravan of outsiders looking for the place where a king was born will obviously arrive at the palace where the king lives. And it was what they did. Common sense took them to the Herod's palace. Going into Herod's palace and telling him that another king had been born not only shook his enlarged ego, but also disturbed the traumatized tranquility in Jerusalem. It is in this scenario where the writer of Matthew places Jesus, whom the wise men also call the King of the Jews. Without knowing it, they had put Joseph, Mary, and Jesus in a big trouble. In other words, the Magi messed it up. This was like a foreign nation recognizing or endorsing another king that was not Herod. That imprudence will bring results that they never imagined. In addition of having put Herod on alert, that visit resulted in the separation of families and the number of dozens of innocent babies murdered and killed. Jerusalem, in the hands of Herod, was that kind of city that could impress anyone. Herod loved huge, beautiful, unbelievable, tremendous constructions. King Herod was considered one of the greatest builders of the ancient world. He built cities, roads, harbors, towers, hippodromes, and amphitheaters, but the greatest of all King Herod's building enterprises was his reconstruction of the Temple of Jerusalem. He was determined to build the temple no matter the cost. The temple will be for the Jews a place for worship, but for him, it will be the symbol of his pathological narcissism. Far off appearing like a mount of alabaster topped with golden spires, a writer said. So, we're not talking about a presumptive king or about the bourgeois gentleman of Molière who paid his sermons to flatter him. No, we're talking about a king, a real king who was known as the friend of Caesar. He visited Rome many times in his life and was always welcomed and honored at Rome's court. Herod was the Herod the Great, as Mark Antony called him, the King of the Jews. So everything that happened in the house of Herod was felt in the last corner of Jerusalem. The city moved and breathed to the rhythm of Herod, and the only thing he lacked was a Twitter account. But there were two things that Herod could not tolerate: people that did not recognize his fame and wealth, and the rumor of being removed from his throne. Herod was a narcissist and a paranoid. I know, I don't have to ask you what it means to live under the power of a narcissistic and paranoid person. What really matters is that these characters have always existed, and it doesn't change the idea of God for humanity. But if as Christians we take this subversive story of Jesus seriously, we should understand that Christianity was born in opposition, was born in direct confrontation with those in power. The writer juxtaposes the grandeur of a king governing the most powerful empire in the world with the grandiosity of a king who was born on the margins, those type of kings that are born on the other side of the tracks. In his paranoia, Herod not only sends to kill babies and toddlers, but sends a message of terror to the most vulnerable groups, as do all those who abuse power and who enjoy keeping their people under a system of fear and distraction. This is not strange for us, because we are normalizing to live under the temperament and rhythms of a system that keep us in a collective codependence, where we don't know if the government will remain closed or open, if the stock market will come up or down, or if tomorrow we will be invaded by a caravan of immigrants, or individual one will have the money for his wall. We live in a time of hypersensitivity, where most people live with nerves on edge, and where religion has given up its principles for serving the powers of the system in exchange for 15 seconds of fame and some influence. A disturbed king produces a disturbed nation. Disturbed nations produce disturbed citizens. Dr. Warren Blumenfeld, a well-known writer of social justice topics, made an interesting case about this notion of American exceptionalism or American superiority by saying, "This mantra of American superiority drilled into us as soon as we exit the womb. Does it not reflect a narcissistic psyche or personality disorder on a nation scale? Review the symptoms for antisocial and narcissistic personality disorders, but this time see whether they apply only to individual one or to the psyche of the country as well." Jesus was born within the bowels of the Roman Empire, but Matthew and Luke make clear he was not the product of a mentally ill individual, even though he was living in a mentally ill society. For me, and I have to say for me, the case of this virginal birth, whatever your thoughts are about it, is just a way of those writers to tell us, to tell their audiences that Jesus was different, a different type of a king, a different type of human being, the first of a new humanity, distancing Jesus from the cruel form of governing others. For the writer of Matthew, the birth of Jesus is inclusive, not only socially inclusive, but includes all creation. God does not only wants to heal the nation of Israel, but the entire human race, the entire universe. Because the problem is not a single person with an air of power. The problem is a nation that has begun to produce and normalizing this type of behaviors coming from mentally ill individuals. What is worst is a nation that is willing of granting them all the power, Matthew invites us to travel with the caravan and move with them, because true Christianity is not static. It doesn't stay to contemplate the manger or the transfiguration or to follow deceptive promises. Go and find him. And when you find him, come and tell me so that I may go and adore him too. I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters. My English teacher will say, David, that's BS. That sounds like those words of, we are invaded by immigrants. We will send soldiers to the border a week before the elections. Or we need to build the wall to protect ourselves from terrorists. But why is not the wall built in Canada too? And ask Canada to pay for it. My brothers and sisters, as my English teacher will say, that's also BS. The scripture shows us that Christianity is a dynamic force of constant transformation, where everyone in the caravan learns to pay attention and to correct the way if needed. Beyond the fact that the wise men don't look as wise as we thought, the writer wants us to join the caravan and go to the palace of Herod with them, to inquire with them, and leave that place in search of the true king. For Matthew, the true king is not in a palace surrounded by glory, ambition, or power. The true king is found where we don't think he is, where those who have lost their way have found their purpose. God always manifests through kings like Jesus, who are born on the margins and who show us that life goes beyond the Herodian constructions and the luxuries of palaces. Herod's palace is in the place is the place where Christ's followers shouldn't be. Our place is in the manger where our king was born. Although it seems that we have become a mentally ill nation, maybe it's time to come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The only thing that can bring us to sanity is the hope that the answer to our situation does not come from those who hold power, because those who hold power are sick of power. This is where we as Christians are called to do something. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth, the lampstand that illuminates the house. And this story invites us to decide which side we want to be and what kind of king we want to follow. It is up to us as followers of Christ to trust that there is a more just and full life beyond the power of the empire, and that it is there is life, that life is governed by God who sustains us, keep us calm, and give us healing, and gives healing to all of us. Amen. I invite you to sing with us.